Ken Woods. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Friday.
So how long do you continue to wear the badge? We're getting kind of halfway close,
77 days, but I'm not sure if he's counting.
So we'll see in December and January.
Yep, and January 29th is the last official day.
Okay. So if you're here in February?
There's something that I either slept in too late or something, right?
Or somebody's trying to even the scales from over the years, yes.
That's right.
Oh, that's too much fun. Our quote this morning comes from, this is actually almost apropos.
Okay.
W.H. Auden, quote, "Some books are deservedly forgotten. None are undeservedly remembered."
You got the first part, yeah.
And just a little something there.
Perfect.
Oh boy, oh boy. So how is the new approach settling in? Is it working? Is it kind of guys every kind of starting to hit stride a little bit here? Because it's been what, 3-4 months now?
It's been a little over 2 months. We're starting to adapt to it now and really start to get it dialed in on the types of calls that new rig is going to with a smaller crew, 2 people. Of course, it's not an engine, so it doesn't have the same firefighting capability, but it's responding on all medical calls, vehicle accidents, service calls, those types of things. And so far, we're seeing that it is being very effective. We're running it out of our downtown station, and it's going on those medical calls that normally the larger ladder truck would be going on. So that's been a benefit. It's taking some of the strain off of that vehicle. And
why would you send the big truck on a medical?
We used to before because that was the single vehicle that ran out of that station.
It was a geographic placement.
Yeah. So this is a trial period for this new vehicle. We're running it out of Station 1 downtown for a couple months, and then we're going to move it over to Station 4 and run it over there as much as we can, which is Station 4 is over on Myrtle, and as much as we possibly can, budget allowing. And we're really developing the data to see where is the best place for that vehicle. Because of the budget constraints, we know we're not going to have the fifth engine available. So we really need 5 units. 4 of those will be the firefighting capable ones with the engines in the truck, and then this smaller vehicle with a crew of 2. But we're looking at response times, where the number of calls are occurring, the length of time it takes to get that unit on scene versus the larger apparatus, and then we'll really determine from there the best place to situate it on a more permanent basis.
You guys have got mapping of a lot of the different calls. Is this going to be the placement of this going to be based on that, or is it going to be a fill-in with the other rig so that there's some guys that know what to do when there's a situation somewhere in the neighborhood?
It's really going to be the best place for that vehicle in as far as response times, so and the type of call. So if it's of course not going the first in vehicle on fires, but medicals, and that's the key we're looking towards.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ken Woods. Ken, the concept of having this rig, do you see this as the first of many, possibly, at least whether it's for Humboldt Bay Fire or for others?
I think definitely so. We're seeing it in other communities. down in the Bay Area, other parts of the country are running some smaller vehicles. And I think we'll do our homework here. We're developing the data. But part of it really stems from, of course, is our budget constraints. And we want to have the vehicles in the right places when we need to fight fires. We're limited now with having one less than before. So what do we make do in the meantime? What do we have the next best option? And we think this squad is probably going to be that vehicle to do it. So we'll look at, see how successful it is and the potential for maybe running another one eventually in our jurisdiction. But other fire departments are doing the exact same thing as well. They're studying it. Napa, for instance, Chico's looking at it. Vacaville. So there's a number of places that are on the same line and looking at the same kind of thing. And we really need those five vehicles is the key for us, having those four units that are capable of fighting fire, having an additional one that can go to a fire. This squad with the two people has the crew to fight fire, but it leaves us a fifth vehicle then to handle other calls in the city and outside. And we have multiple stack calls, multiple 911 calls at the same time. And if we commit all those units, only four of them to a fire at once, then we don't have anything else to protect the rest of the jurisdiction.
And four to a fire isn't as abnormal as what you might think.
It's really what we need with the number of staffing in order to accomplish the tasks on that fire, you know, putting water on the fire, throwing ladders, rescuing people, ventilating, cutting hole in the roof, just a number of tasks that have to be performed simultaneously or else that fire is going to continue to grow. And I think we've shown that we've been very successful putting four units on a fire. The fire we have had in the last few years, fortunately, we haven't had big fires, and I think that's attributed to the number of people we can throw at them, the number of tasks that get performed quickly and coordinated, and that's a real beneficial. And I think we've seen that reflected now in some of our insurance ratings that have just come out as well from the Insurance Service Organization, which is a national rating system that insurance companies use to charge residences and commercial businesses for their fire insurance.
Well, since you already merged into the next topic, why don't you finish it off, big boy?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
sure. I was going to help you out today. Yeah. You look like you're having trouble. But no, we just got our rating from ISO, which is the national organization that determines the fire protection class for municipalities and jurisdictions. And ours came back as a 3, which on a scale of 10 is the lower number, the better you are. So in the city, we've maintained the 3, and in the district area, we've dropped down from a 4 to a 3, which is an improvement, which will mean an improvement in people's insurance rates for their fire insurance.
That's the legacy you want to leave, huh?
It is. I mean, it really shows that consolidation, here's a direct benefit from it, because we could pool our resources now, not take each entity separately, but put them together. It's a direct reflection of not only saving dollars on the cost of the service, but also the cost of insurance that each of us pays, whether it's in our residence, commercial buildings, whether we're a renter, we're still helping our rent pays the landlord for that. So it's an improvement, and we're pleased to see that.
In the past, we've talked about response time, and that's kind of how you guys lay out.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, where the fire stations are.
Correct.
Okay, obviously there's a physicality issue and the monetary issue, but that's the staffing.
Right.
With medical, seconds count, half minutes count.
Mm-hmm, they do.
What about structure? I've never heard structure referenced. If you're a minute later at a structure,
is that
critical fire, as the medical,
it,
1 minute?
It is, because the fires grow exponentially. So, you know, every minute they're doubling and continuing to grow in size. So it really does have a big effect. And that's why when I talk about having those four units on scene with all those crews that can immediately go about accomplishing all those tasks that have to be done, if we get there and we can only focus on rescuing people, that fire continues to grow. If we have to have a crew that's trying to get in the door, that's going to have to cut through the door and not put water on that fire quickly, then that fire is going to continue to grow as well. So it really does have a big effect. The medical side, you know, the brain can only survive so long without oxygen. The heart, those things are the given. We know that. But fires, it is a big effect, and they grow very rapidly. And as I said, we've been successful in being able to knock those down quickly in the past couple years and really contain the fires because of the number of crews we have and their ability to function rapidly.
If you had a rig on the other side of town trying to respond in the neighborhood where you had the squad truck, mm-hmm. would you send the truck there first and kind of prepare the site as much as they can so when the guys get there it would be a more efficient arrival?
We do.
And then they disappear?
We do send, you know, the four units, whatever. It doesn't matter which unit gets there first. They're going to go to work right away. So if it's the squad with two people, even though they don't have the pump and the tank to put water on it, they can start opening the doors. They can start
getting people
out.
What I was thinking. Yeah.
Exactly. And shutting off the utilities, all those kind of things that have to be done while we're starting our fire attack. So really,
you don't turn off the water, do you?
Not the water. Yeah, no.
But the gas and the electricity.
Yeah, the gas and electric, okay. We do. Exactly, yeah. We don't bother with the water. We try to bring it inside with us to put the fire out.
Yeah, I didn't think you were using the hose bib outside the house.
Usually not, yeah. That'd be an extra large garden hose for us there.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Humble Bay Fire Chief Ken Woods.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Chief Ken Woods out of Humboldt Bay Fire. Ken, yesterday we were driving north of Fortuna on 101, and one lane was out. I think I counted seven fire trucks out of Fortuna.
Right.
A couple of Caltrans guys and CHP. One lane, all that kind of stuff. Guys hitting the mountain. It was funny because just before that, there was a comment made, the grass looks so green. They were surprised because of all the talk about drought.
Yeah, and it looks...
And these guys were from out of the area.
Green. Yeah, what's everybody talking about?
Yeah, and then we saw that.
Right.
You have any update or any insight on
that? Yeah, we just heard that it was multiple fires Cal Fire was dealing with along the highway. Normally, when you get fires like that are multiple right against the side of the highway, it's usually somebody that's traveling, dragging something, for instance, a chain or a piece of machinery, something like that. Starting fires, then it goes. But then it's an indication that, you know, the grass may look a little bit greener because we've had a little bit of rain here lately, but it's still dry, and it doesn't take a lot to get it going. So even though we're into November now and you think, well, probably fire season is over, it's really not. We're going to need to get some significant rain to really make a difference. And things are still dry out there. The top layer may look okay, but underneath things are extremely dry still. And yesterday was a good indication we're going to get those kind of fires, and they continue.
So how does dragging, let's say, a chain, let's be as innocuous as we can, in the first lane, get something ignited on the hillside 8-10 feet away?
Yeah, those sparks will be traveling quite a distance. So, you know, when you're normally you throw your cigarette out, the same thing, you throw it out and the wind carries it into the grass along the side of the road. As that chain or piece of equipment, whatever it is continually banging on that highway, it's throwing out a large amount of sparks, and those travel. They get into that brush area, and it doesn't take much to get them going. You get maybe a little bit of a breeze, something like that, and you'll have multiple fires. And again, as somebody drives along, they don't realize it. They may not know whatever it is dragging, and they don't see the fire starting, but those fires, the sparks get in there, they start to grow, and then that person's down the road and the fire's burning, but they're not aware of it for a while.
So it's not necessarily malicious, somebody
exactly. Yeah, just being accidental.
Goofy.
Yeah. Right.
Well, we need another public safety message, man.
No more chain.
Don't drag your chain.
Right.
Yeah.
Make sure you're chained properly. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you are carrying a chain, chain yourself properly, will you?
Or...
Yeah. Well, yeah, between the trailer and the hitch.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
that could be something just.
Chains, to... Right. Right. And if you have a, you know, a trailer with a piece of equipment on it and you have to strap it down and one of those chains come loose or anything like that, you know, things that aren't secured properly in your vehicle or in your trailer bounce out and cause problems. It's usually from the person behind you or somebody on the side then.
So when are you going to breathe? I noticed, you know, Oregon, they're out of the fire season.
Yeah.
California made their statement, but Humboldt and Del Norte still are in.
We did allow the debris burning, ag burning type things. So that ban has been lifted. But, you know, maybe this next week we'll get some significant rain and that will make a dent in it more so than what we've seen so far. So we're starting to work that way, but we're not there yet.
Are you looking at a particular amount of rainfall or are you just going to go out with a shovel in the yard and see how far down it gets?
Yeah, I you know, it's not a specific amount. It's how much comes over a period of time. And, you know, CAL FIRE is really the ones that keep a close eye on that at the state level and locally. And we rely on them to let us know when the burn suspension is lifted, and we follow their lead on that. But, you know, we get a couple inches of rain, and that's really going to help things out then.
Not all in a half an hour.
Yeah, well, that may cause problems the other way for us. Right.
Just checking in. KINS, News and Information. It's 8:41. We'll be back with more from Ken Woods.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Ken Woods. So what's been keeping you busy here the last little bit?
Well, we've had several fires the last 10 days or so. We had a couple of arson fires, one on H Street, one in the R Street, and then we had a residential structure fire out on Muncie. So we've been busy with those, let alone just the normal medical calls and, you know, the violent stuff that goes on every day in the community.
Oh, the shooting and the overdosing and the knifing.
Yeah,
and
yeah, the normal bread and butter stuff that we go to every day.
But so the arson fires, were these related or unrelated,
we
or
don't,
do you know yet?
Yeah, we think they are unrelated, but to have a couple of them, you know, in a week's period of time, just they were within 3 days of each other.
Dumpster kind of
things? No, these were structure fires, both residential. One was in a garage. One was in a two-story Victorian. So, you know, those are always concerning. And the process to investigate and try to determine the cause is just something that takes a while, and it's frustrating. But, you know, we go through our process and we work with law enforcement to try to identify, you know, what the cause was, who was around in the neighborhood, what people saw, where the fire was started, what was used to start the fire, were there multiple sets of trying to start the fire, all those types of things.
Was it a lab?
No, neither one.
How refreshing.
Yes, that's a change. Right. Not in this case.
You guys still running into issues when you go charging into the woods to help the various encampments in the area?
We are. We're still, that hasn't changed. You know, when we go behind the mall, we still need a police escort to go back there because of the threats against our firefighters and the threats of violence and the dogs that are there. And that side of things hasn't changed. Now we're more concentrated down in the end of Del Norte and responding in there, not as much behind the mall as those folks are camping now in that area.
Same people, just different locations.
Same people. We're seeing just a little shift in the area where we're responding to now.
What about the ones next to, in the green space between Myrtle and
behind the was it six, seven?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, those are three distinct camps that are in there.
They are.
Same kind of reaction? Or do you even have calls there?
Yeah, no, we get calls there for, burns, smoke coming from the area, and those are either encampment fires or people that are cooking outdoor campfires, that type of thing. Not quite as, reactive and resistant to us coming in there. We don't have as many problems going in there. As we do behind the mall area, and they seem to be much more protective of the space they're occupying.
Jeez. And if you want to attend the next practice session on how to talk.
It took a while, but I got
I know. It was, actually, I kind of appreciated the underlining that you were going through there. The way. Do you anticipate much of a change as we're going into the cooler weather with the types of responses you guys are going to have with those who, not the guys piling on their heater, that kind of stuff, but the outdoor responses that you have?
No, it's pretty consistent. You know, we may have more fires than previously as the temperature drops and people, try to stay warm, and the types of things that they may be burning down there may change a little bit. But overall, for the most part, those types of calls just continue on a regular basis, and we don't see huge fluctuations that way.
Do you ever see that you're going to have a strike team or something akin to like the SWAT team with the guys with guns to respond to homeless encampments, because it is a different kind of response?
No, I think really for us, because of where our stations are located, we are going to send the closest fire crew that can get there. But the big thing is the types of threats that our employees have, and we need law enforcement to help us out there when we go.
Well, good thing you guys are coming from the same place.
That's correct.
Yes. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks.
We've been talking shop with Ken Woods. Oh, turkey or ham?
Turkey, always.
All right. See you on Monday.